How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Our subject today is what God wants us to know about mothers. Before we get to what God wants to know us about, there's some things we know about mothers. Here's seven things you will never hear your mother say. Are you ready for this? Seven things you will never hear your mother say. Leave all the lights on. We have extra money this month to pay for the electric bill. Let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for another week. Go ahead and keep that stray dog. I'd be glad to take care of it for you. Well, if Tommy's mother says it's okay, that's good enough for me. The curfew is just a general time to shoot for, give or take 3 or 4 hours. Things you'll never hear your mother say. You don't need a tissue. Just wipe your nose on your sleeve. And don't bother wearing a jacket. The windshield is bound to improve. These are some of the things you will never hear a mother say. And here are seven things mothers learn from their children. Are you ready? Number one, a king-size water bed holds enough water to fill a 2,000-square-foot house to 4 inches deep. What mothers learn from their children, a ceiling fan can hit a baseball a long way. The glass in the windows doesn't stop the baseball hit by the ceiling fan. When you hear the commode flush, spelling mistake there, and the words, uh-oh, it's already too late. Marbles in gas tanks make lots of noise while you're driving. The spin cycle on the washing machine does not make earthworms dizzy. However, it does make cats dizzy. Cats throw up twice their body weight when dizzy. These are some of the things mothers learn from their children. And then there's a group of scientific facts that mothers wish their children knew. How to tell the difference between the floor and the laundry hamper. How to close the refrigerator door. How hinges work. Trash cans and how they operate. How to eliminate the monster living under your bed in last month's pizza box. The difference between a mom and an ATM machine. Some of the things mothers wish their children knew. Now, there are so many famous statements, we just couldn't go through them all, but I'm going to mention a few of them. Is that okay? You all right? To get started like this? Okay. I don't care how old you are, I'm still your mother. Just do what I tell you to do, and no one will get hurt. If I have to stop this car, you're really going to get it. Don't make me come up there or in there. You do that one more time, you're going to wish you hadn't. Now, if you know what's good for you, because I said so, that's why. They really taught us to be rational, didn't they? If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. Stop acting like your father. One day you'll have a child who'll do the same things to you. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. That's why we have so many little people walking around these days. When that lawnmower cuts your toes off, don't come running to me. This room of yours looks like a tornado went through it. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, you're going to freeze that way. There are millions of children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you do. Some of the famous statements from mothers. Well, here's the question today, though. What does God want us to know about mothers? So let's go to your notes now, and let's learn what God wants us to learn about mothers. Number one, mothers are a treasure to be guarded and a loss to be mourned. Mothers are a treasure to be guarded and a loss to be mourned. Now, the Bible is full of analogies. Analogies are very important, as you're going to see in a moment when we get to an analogy between a mother and a God and God himself. But they illustrate truths. And when looking for an illustration of the greatest kind of sorrow, Solomon, the wisest man in history, came up with this. I bowed down heavily as one that mourns for his mother. Greatest loss that one could mourn. Which means if you haven't lost her, she is the greatest treasure to be guarded. Motherhood is God's idea. In fact, after 7 days of creation, the only thing he added to creation after the 7 days was a mother. I think I'm safely within the mark when I say that there's nobody here today without a mother. I like it that way, because that means that there's nobody here that can't benefit from what we're teaching about this morning. But this is a day for us to remember this truth, that mothers are a treasure to be guarded and a loss to be mourned if they're ever lost. That's why you want to treat her top shelf. Number two, God's love to us is likened unto that of a mother. Now, nobody loves you like God. God is love. But when searching for an analogy of how God loves us, he didn't say he loves you like a father. He doesn't love you like an aunt or an uncle. Scriptures show us that God loves us like a mother. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted. And when you see this, watch this now. When you see this, when you see that I love you like a mother, that I comfort you like a mother, look at this, your heart shall rejoice. And not only will your heart rejoice, but your bones shall flourish like an herb. Bones where the blood is made are flourish like an herb. Notice that it's important for us to grasp that God comforts us like a mother. And when you really grasp this, your heart should rejoice. You need to know this about mothers. Number three. A mother's sense of success is directly related to the success of her children. A mother's fulfillment in life is directly tied to the fulfillment of and well-being of her children. Though there's no doubt that the father of the child that goes the right way shall greatly rejoice. And well, watch this. But he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall both be glad, but she particularly that bare thee shall rejoice. Her rejoicing in life is directly related to your well-being. And that's one good reason why you want to go right and be right and do right. Because if nobody else in the world is elated and excited over you, your mother will be. Because her success is related to yours. On the converse side, here is Scripture stating the same way. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Again, this verse shows that a mother's success is related to the child's success. And if he is foolish, and she bears heaviness. Number four. The father's role largely determines a mother's success. A mother cannot be successful without the father. So he puts a cap. Fathers put a cap on the success of a mother. Because if they don't do their side, if the father doesn't do his side, the mother's side, though done to the best of a mother's ability, will have a limitation. Let's look at some of these scriptures. The rod and the reproof give wisdom. Now, by the way, this is the job of a father. Nowhere in the Bible will you find this responsibility given to a mother, given to the father. Now watch this. A child left to himself. Now watch here. Watch the scripture with me. Let me watch this. Let me do this again. A child left to himself that doesn't get this from his father will bring his mother to shame. If the father does what a father should do, he increases the chances of the mother's success. But if the father doesn't do the father's side, then he brings a limitation to the mother's ability to effectively raise her children. So, do you follow that now? A child left to himself without that which the father was supposed to supply, which is here, which comes from the father, will bring his mother to shame. Let's look at some more verses about this. Because the father's role is very important. If he doesn't do his stuff. You see, this raising of children is a team, and no matter, it's a team task, and no matter how good a mother is, if the father doesn't do his side, the mother's role is incomplete. Even though she does it at 100%. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. Now there's no doubt about it that a mother teaches a child truth, but God puts the responsibility primarily on the father. And if a child gets the truth only from the mother, he may doubt the truth. But when a child gets the truth from the father, which is God's design, in addition to the mother, then that truth will stick to the child like glue. So the father is to function as a communicator of truth. Let's look at a norm. Now, in the New Testament, Paul said, You know how we exhorted and comfort and charged every one of you. Now watch this. As a father doth his children. How does a father? You see, they understood normal. There is no society in the world which has perfected motherhood and fatherhood like the Hebrews, like the Jewish people, because they got their directions straight from God. So in the Jewish family, the father knows with the detail, as does the mother, what their tasks are. And the early Christians knew exactly. Now watch this. In the same way that a father does this to his children, Paul said, we do three things with you. We exhort you, we comforted you, and we charged every one of you. That's three more things that fathers do. They are to exhort, they are to comfort, and they are to give the charge, the responsibility, the mandate for behavior, conduct, and creed to the father, or to the children, comes from the father. Now watch this. Because here's what a father does ultimately with a child. Teaches the child to walk worthy of God, of a relationship with God. So, understand that a mother's success is directly related to the father's role as well. You need to know that about motherhood. Number five, the success of a child will be determined on how he treats his mother. The success of every child, the future success of a child, can be seen in advance by how that child treats his mother. How a child treats his mother determines their future potential. Look at the scripture. Whoever curses his father or whoever curses his mother, his influence shall be put out into obscure darkness. The lamp in scripture is figurative of a person's influence. How much light they shine off from their life. Let's look at another scripture, one you know real well. Honor your father and honor your mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Now watch this, because if you do, your days will be prolonged and it will go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. How a person, child, treats their mother determines their success, their future. Watch this one. A child learns how to treat his mother by how his father treats the mother, his wife. A child learns to treat his mother. How does a child learn how to properly treat his mother? By watching how his father treats his wife, their mother. There is a direct connection between the father and the sons. If a father is disrespectful to his wife, a son will learn to be disrespectful to the mother, albeit behind her back, because if he does it in front of her, he might get in trouble. But that is how a child learns. The soul of the father, as the soul of the father, so the soul of the son. Let me give you this one. You know this one. Well, no, not the one I was thinking of. But we're going to come to this one about iniquities of the father being visited upon the children. And it applies here. That's why husbands should love their wives, even as Christ loved the church. Because then your sons will love their mother the same way. Show me a husband that honors his wife. I'll show you a son that honors his mother. Show me a father that mocks or ridicules or puts down his wife, and I'll show you a son that does the same thing. And if he does it, his lamp is put out into obscure darkness. This is one of the facts that God wants you to know about mothers. A male child will grow up to treat his wife the way his father taught him by his example to treat his mother. How a son treats his mother is determined by how the father treats his mother, the wife. And how a son treats his mother is exactly how he will treat his wife when he marries. Because we learn it from our fathers. The best thing a man can do for his children is to love their mother, his wife. You follow that? Okay. In the Iniquity Seminar, which coming up Tuesday, by the way, at teaching it at Evangel, called Evangel Temple? Evangel Temple? Assembly of God Church, across town. Tuesday for pastors from 9 till 4. We outline exactly what are the iniquities of the fathers that get visited upon the children. What are the iniquities of the father? Watch this. One of the iniquities of the father is how he treats his wife. If he doesn't treat his wife equal to what the Bible says he should treat his wife, that iniquity gets passed on to the son. And sons will treat their wives. How? Why? Because the iniquity got passed on. How a father talks about his wife will determine how the son talks to his wife. A female child will grow up to expect and accept the kind of treatment her father gave her mother. This is iniquity of the father. If he treats the mother poorly, that iniquity will get passed on, and the daughter will learn how. She will learn to accept. This, friends, this is the birth place of abuse. Abuse is taught in the marriage, and it is communicated to the children. The father teaches the child to abuse women by how he treats or doesn't treat properly his wife. And to the female children in the family, they will learn to accept abuse because that's what they learned to do in the family. So that's why God wants us to understand these things about motherhood. Now, here's an interesting thing about Scripture. A man's intelligence can be accurately determined by how he treats his mother. This is shocking, but true. I'll show it to you in the Scripture. A man's intelligence. You know, we have a lot of ways of measuring a person's intelligence today. We have IQ tests and EQ tests, and we have all manner of aptitude testing, and what is one's chance at success in the future? The Bible says that whether a man is wise or foolish is determined by how he treats his mother. A man who treats the best gift God could ever give someone, which is a mother, despicably or irreverently or disrespectfully or disobediently does not have a very high IQ. Anybody who will talk against the very person who brought them into this world, nursed them from zero upwards and put up and tolerated and kept on loving and lavishing themselves on them, and if that man will speak against that person, God says he is a fool. The intelligence can be determined by how a son, a man, treats his mother. See, a man who is a fool, not very smart, despises his mother. He thinks, oh, it's just her opinion. She doesn't know very much. And he probably learned that from a father. Isn't that terrible? I hope this is helping you today. Because if we can understand the intermechanisms and the dynamics of relationships as they really are according to the Word of God, and how they occur, we'll understand why our children are the way they are. And if we are children who can despise a mother, we know we've got big trouble and we need to regroup. Not only does this son is determined by Scripture to be foolish if he despises his mother, but it is a joy to him to do folly. Why? Because this is that son's condition. He, with all his education, he could have a college degree. He could have the ability of logic. He could have some rhetorical communication skills. He could have studied dialectics. He could put argument and stuff together. But God says, if he's destitute of wisdom, you know it because of how he treats his mother or she. They're destitute. So a man's intelligence can be accurately determined by how he treats his mother. Then a man's moral integrity can also be accurately evaluated by how he treats his mother. He that chases away his mother is a son that causes shame and brings reproach. And this is an indictment against his moral integrity, his condition. Then the Bible outlines the characteristics of children that do not bless his or her mother. These things are knowable. So let's take a look at three of them at least. So look at this definition now. This is a generation. This is a group of people that curse their father and they do not bless their mother. They refuse to be a blessing to their mother. That's all. Now, what are these people like? Are you ready? Here is a description of a child who does not bless his mother. Remember, blessing our mother is the most natural thing, because look at all the blessings they bestowed on us. How many can you count? How many are they are in the tens of thousands from day zero, day one, on through the blessings that come from another. And then if this child, be it male or female, doesn't bless back their mother, there's a reason. They have a condition that must be affected. So here we go. What is this generation like? Number one, here's A. It's in your notes. Number A here, right here, right, okay? They are pure in their own eyes, and yet the truth is they are filthy. They think they're clean. They think they're pure. But the fact is, they are filthy. That is the first characteristic of a child who does not bless his mother. Secondly, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up? What is this one? This is B. They think they are really up here when they're really down there. They really think they're successful when they're not. They really see themselves as intelligent, but they are void of smarts. That's the second characteristic of a son or a daughter that does not bless his mother. Thirdly, their teeth are as swords, and their jaw, teeth are like knives. Now watch this now. And they use their words to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. They have no compassion for the poor or the needy. A son or daughter that does not bless his mother has these three characteristics. They're part of a whole large group referred to in this verse of the Bible as a generation. And then the 12th thing we need to learn from the Word of God about mothers is that the law of a mother is to be remembered and followed in order to benefit us. Now, this is interesting because it's law in the singular sense, referring actually to all the laws make up the law of the mother. She has a whole lot of rules. And they are by every child to be remembered and followed, or we don't get the benefit from it, and we'll get devastation. So watch this now. Here's the scripture for it. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Mothers lay down certain rules of conduct. Say, son, this is what you do. In every circumstance like this, this is how you behave. This is how you react. This is how to think about this. And the mother lays down the law. And watch this. The first obligation of a son or daughter is to forsake it not. Don't put it down. Look at number two. Remember it. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Get thou instructions of your mother and fasten them to your heart. If you have to, get yourself a necklace, a chain to put around your neck, and on the end of it, something in which you engrave or write the instructions of your mother and carry it around your neck. So everywhere you go, you're carrying that thing. There's something that has meaning. And you can look at it at any time because you want to remember and follow the instructions from your mother. Now there's some benefits. Here's what happens when a young man or young woman or an older man or older woman, you know, I know older men who are in their 40s or 50s, and they have never treated their mother correctly. And they're old men now. The only solution for that older man, is to go back to the laws that his mother gave him, remember them, write them down, and start doing them now. or he'll stay the fool the rest of his life. Now watch here. Here's the benefits. When you go, the laws that your mother gave you will lead you. So I guess a good question for us today would be, are you being led by the laws that your mother laid down for you? You are in real good shape. If you're following the rules, this is what she told you to do, then you're in good shape. They're leading you. You are going in the right direction. But if you have despised your mother and despised the law of your mother, if you've forsaken the laws of your mother, if you haven't even bothered to remember them, let alone to do them, then you are being led by something else and not by the law of your mother. Now, these laws of your mother will lead you. Secondly, when you're asleep, they will keep you. And this begs a whole lot of teaching here, because there's a lot of things happen in a person's sleep that should not happen. But if you take the law of your mother and bind it continually bind it on your heart, fasten it to your heart, and follow it, and not only lead you, but it will keep you in your sleep. And third thing, when you are awake, those laws will talk with thee. I'm going to tell you how important this is. Because every one of us today hears voices. There are thousands of voices bidding us, the left, the right, go forward, behind, look up, look down, buy this, buy that, spend your time doing this, spend your time doing that, join up with this person, leave that person alone. We got voices all the time. The question is not whether or not you hear voices or not. The question is, through all the maze of voices, can you hear the voice of your mother? Because if you can hear the voice of your mother and you will follow it, you will get all the blessings of having the laws of your mother talk to you. They will keep you out of trouble. They will keep you out of danger. They will keep you out of evil company. They will keep you on the path of life and from going astray. Come on, somebody ought to be shouting amen by now. You're not helping the preacher very much this morning, but I'm telling you the truth. You need to get this. These are some of the things God wants you to know about your mother. Then God wants you to know that destruction comes to those who do either of these, smite or curse their mother. Destruction comes. Now, in the Old Testament, it came differently than in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the elders of the city were duty-bound to carry out an execution. He that smites his father or his mother. If a child hits his father or hits his mother, they shall be surely put to death. Now, we don't have those laws as part of our society today, but watch this. Whenever a person commits what we call a death penalty sin, even though they're not put to death in this society, the destruction will still occur in their life. They are worthy of death. They don't die. They are not executed. But a destruction begins to take place. Everybody that commits the death penalty of sin. Then it would behoove you to go through the Old Testament and list all the death penalty sins. One of which is smiting or cursing. Here it is. He that smiteth his mother or father, or he that curses his mother or father, shall be put to death. A destruction occurs. Every young child needs to know this, so they never lift a hand to their mother, ever. So they never curse their mother ever, because destruction comes. Now, this is probably a subject big enough for another occasion, but in the Bible, stepmothers are to be treated the same as mothers. And so, if children have a stepmother, they are to esteem them and follow them. And the husband needs to treat this wife the same as the mother. And I put this illustration down because Joseph was raised by a stepmother. One of the reasons why his brothers were a different age group. He was the youngest. It's one of the reasons why he was treated differently. But it's important just to know that. Now, motherhood, God's way, is designed to be a joyous event. I get a kick out of Mark Twain, who said, "My mother had a hard time raising me, but I think she liked it." And even though children have their downside and battles and all kinds of things, it's designed by the mother to be a joyous occasion. He causes the barren woman who has not had any children so far, to do two things. Number one, to keep house, and number two, to be a joyful mother of children. So, before you got married, you didn't have children. Maybe after you're married, you still haven't had children yet. And so that Bible refers to is your womb is still barren. But God's design is that you become a keeper of the home and that you become a joyful mother of children. It is to be a joyous event. Mothers are to instruct daughters about men. Many of the things we learn in Scripture, we learn by precept and we learn by principle. And so here we learn that this young lady thinks that she's got the right man following her. So she says, listen to her now, "I would lead thee," this is the young man, "and I will bring thee into my mother's house." That's the place of instruction. And so a mother should teach the daughters about men. Because by the time a woman is a mother and has been around for a while, she learns what men are really like. And it isn't all bad. Amen? Mothers as well as fathers are to approve marriage partners. Certainly the permission comes from the father. That's why when we have a wedding, a marriage ceremony, the bride comes down the aisle with her father. And he is the head of the household, head of his wife and her mother. And when the preacher says, "Who gives this woman to be married to this man?" the father speaks up and says, "I do." He is the legal authority. And so, hopefully, this is not merely a marriage formality, but before they got together, this father and the mother checked out the young man to see if he was worthy of the daughter's life, because this exchange of authority is taking place at the altar. The daughter is being turned over from the authority of the father and mother over to the authority of another man. It is one of the most solemn things a man ever does, a father ever does, is to give his daughter to another man. He better do it wisely. He better do it based on information. He better not do it based on tradition. However, in the granting of permission, a father and a mother should be in dialogue about this occasion. And look here, and what a mother says is really important. The daughter here has found somebody that she thinks she loves in her soul. But I am not, now watch this, I had my discussions with him, and I'm willing to let him go, but I would not. Mother's house, and into the chamber of my mother, of her that conceived me. Mom, look this guy over. Check him out. I'm willing to let him go, or I'm willing to hold on to him. But Mom, I am bringing him to your house and into the room where you're seated, so you can pass judgment. Wisest decision about marriage made by a young lady is made under the strict guidance and approval of her father and her mother. The father has a certain male way of checking out the guy, but the mother has a female way of checking out the guy. And both are really important. Let's look at another scripture about this. Go forth, you daughters of Zion. Behold, King Solomon with the crown. Now watch this. The crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousal. In other words, the right marriage partner for Solomon was the one that got approved. And it's as if she put the crown on his head. Said, yep, that's the kind of woman for you. Hey, we're almost done. Number 18. This is really important. A woman's evil past does not disqualify her from becoming a godly and successful mother. You'd be amazed how many Christian mothers suffer from an undue inferiority complex about being a mother because of their own past sin. A mother may have been a failure. She may have been even a moral failure, as we'll see in a moment. She may have messed up her life. But that does not disqualify her from becoming a godly and successful mother. Let me show you in the Bible how we know this is true. Here we have, in the 31st chapter of Proverbs, the words of King Lemuel. Now, Lemuel is another name of who? Solomon. Wisest man in history. And where did he get his words from? Solomon got his words from the predictions that his mother taught him. Who was his mother? Bathsheba. That name ring a bell with anybody? Most of us, when we think of Bathsheba, wife of Uriah, who cheated on her husband with King David, a moral failure, complicit in the murder plot, and something happened to that mother. Something happened to Bathsheba. And she became the mother of the wisest man in recorded history. Now watch this. There are laws of God that always work. There are laws of cause and effect. And Solomon didn't become a wise man because he was raised by a mother who was a fool. He didn't become a wise man because he was raised by a mother who played the harlot at one point in time. But he became a wise man because his mother taught him to seek God. And because he did what she told him to do, seek God, God gave him wisdom like no other man. History. Watch this. And so she says, "What, my son, Solomon? The son of my womb?" And Solomon, the son of my vows. You see, with God, there is redemption. Isn't that good news? Stuff can be broken, it can get fixed. You can be lost and you can be found. You can be damned and you can be blessed. What you once were, you don't always have to be. Change is possible. Because God is Redeemer. And what happened in the 51st Psalm, David, who committed adultery with Bathsheba, there you'll find in the 51st Psalm the details of his repentance and the restoration of his relationship with God. And his ill-gotten wife, Bathsheba, complicit in his sin, complicit in his failure, gets transformed as well. And guess what? She is the one who wrote the 31st chapter of Proverbs. You know where it goes from here? Solomon, who can find a virtuous woman? And you've got a one-time adulteress who got redemption, got changed into a godly woman, and raised the wisest man in history, taught him, "It's not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine." It's the next verse right after this. "No alcohol, son." Solomon, no alcohol. "And if you'll listen to my instruction, son, this is the kind of woman you want to watch for." And the 31st chapter is a detailed description of what she herself had become, the virtuous woman from Proverbs 31. Mother, do not let your past failure do not think that it disqualifies you. And the advice you now give and the power you now have and the success you will guarantee as you teach your children. This is one of the things God wants you to know about motherhood. Mothers don't just mother children. They mother adults as well. You heard the quote a little while ago. I don't care how old you are, I'm still your mother. And you may say, well, hey, my mother, I'm growing up now. I'm in my 20s. I'm in my 30s, or I'm in my 40s. And even if you're in your 40s, watch this now. Your mom, still your mom. Don't despise your mother. Even when she is old. Now, she doesn't have the authority she once had, but she still has the wisdom she once had. She still has the counseling skill she once had. Because if the truth were known, mothers have a direct connection to heaven. And mothers are given wisdom from God direct beyond their education, beyond their experience. And what a mother says to a son or a daughter, unless a perversion has taken place, you can count on. Now, there is a number 20, because it shouldn't end on a 19, right? Should be 20. Got to round this thing off. So here's number 20. The best advice a mother ever gave, or the best advice a mother ever gives, is are you ready for it? Do what Jesus says. And I'm going to take you to the last recorded words of the mother of Jesus. And this is what the mother of Jesus says. Here it is, ready? Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. That was what Mary's best advice. This was her final exclamation recorded in Scripture. Whatever my son, Jesus, tells you to do, do it. And mothers who give that advice are in good company with Mary, the mother of Jesus. And they're in good company with solid biblical instruction and wisdom. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. So, my hope today is that you've learned from the Bible what you need to know about mothers. Of course, there are many more things, but it's time for the day to begin in your household to honor your mother. And yes, it's a phone call, and yes, it's a card, and yes, it's maybe a gift, and maybe it's lunch. But let it be more than that. Let it be that you return to the wise guidance and counsel of the single person God gave you to nourish and watch over you the days of your life. And even though she's old and you're an adult, she's still your mother. Will you say amen? Amen. I hope that's been helpful to you today. It kind of felt like it was like a straightforward rush toward the goal line. I thought I'd be done by 11. But it's 20 after. That's pretty close for me, anyhow. And amen. Now, would you bow with me for a moment, please? Heavenly Father, I personally give you thanks for every mother in the room and those that will become. You have endowed them and invested in them wisdom that you've never given a man. And no man can raise a child without a mother, and no mother can raise a child without a father. And if we have lost father or mother, then let us return to them. Oh, Lord, today in this room, there are those, if they would just return to the counsel of their mother, all would be well with their soul. Because they have a mother who has said, whatever Jesus says to you, do it. We give you thanks now for the mothers here. And we do now, in the name of your Son and our Savior, ask a special blessing on them. How rich we are because of them. So we say thank you today. And God bless the mothers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.